Genesis chapter 16 is about the birth of Ishmael. And we might as well read it. It's a short 16 verses. Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her handmaid, the Egyptian, from Abram, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judgeth between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Anyway, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was fourscore and six years old when Hagar bear Ishmael to Abram. All right, let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Lord, thank you for this opportunity to open your word. I ask you to give us understanding, give us discernment. Help us, Lord, to take this in and to use it in our lives. Seek how it may help us in each day of our life. In Christ's name, amen. Now, the reason I had them quote that is because they had a problem here. Faith and patience always goes together. Hebrews 6:12 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. James chapter 1:1-5 tells us that we're going to have situations, but we need to wait on the Lord. There's going to be tests that come along. There's going to be temptations that come along. But nonetheless, we need to be waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 28:16 says, he that believeth shall not make haste. Sarah needed to read that, except it wasn't written yet. We must trust God not only for the plan that he has in our life, or the plan that we see unfolding in our nation and really in the world, but we need to wait on his timing. We need to trust that. I get a little ahead when I look at the world situation going on. I get pretty bent out of shape because I liked the world I grew up in. Amen. It was a nice world. Yeah. My nation, honestly, was a good nation, and I grew up in a good nation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll be up front with you. We still live in the best nation in the entire world, by far. But it's fastly losing that in a hurry. But when I look at what's going on, I have to remember God's plan, but I also have to remember his timing. And we must wait on his timing. Before he could send really the promised son, God had to wait until Abram and Sarah were really as good as dead, or it wouldn't have meant the same. Romans 4:19-21, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength and conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now, Sarah messed up. Sarah, really, she turned to human wisdom and understanding instead of God's promises. And we do that. If we're not careful, we'll turn to our own wisdom. We'll turn to our own understanding, and we start forgetting what God said. I get really bent out of shape with things going on, as I mentioned. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Not acknowledge me, not acknowledge yourself, acknowledge God. And it says, and he shall direct thy paths. She trusted a woman from Egypt instead of the God of heaven. You know, and that was a mistake on her part. I'm not going to be too angry with her because I wasn't there. Her husband, and we don't have to go into detail, you understand, he was way past the time of any of that stuff. She was way past the time of being able to carry a child. And she's looking at, maybe God forgot or something. you ever thought that in your head? When you prayed about something and you prayed and you prayed and you're like, maybe God forgot. You know, but he doesn't forget. But he did make a promise to him. And it was for faith, to build their faith. And the Lord will use things to build our faith. But she turned to her own wisdom and she turned to her own understanding instead of God's. Now, apparently, maybe she wasn't as strong a believer as she should have been. Honestly, Abraham should have stood up and said, honey, no. Those words you read in there, and he hearkened unto his wife. That reminds me of somebody else that hearkened unto their wife. And it's been trouble ever since. That happened in the Garden of Eden. He hearkened, and it's been trouble ever since. We'll get into that in a minute. But if you notice, she may not have been the strongest believer, but she was sure capable of blaming somebody else for all the problems. She blamed God for her barrenness. She turned around and blamed Abraham when Hagar created problems in the home. And it's like, wait a minute, honey. You the one that sent her in there. She tend to forget all of that. You see, the wisdom from God is pure and it's peaceable. It gives you peace. But the wisdom of the flesh is always a divisive problem, and it's confusion. James chapter 3, 13 through 18 says, who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In other words, if we wait on the Lord, things will turn out a lot better for us. There won't be a lot of confusion when we're waiting on Him. And when it all comes together. You see, the problem is too many of us, and I'm guilty as well as everybody else, we tend to walk by sight and not by faith, which was what basically Sarah was doing in Abraham. I'm going to blame him too. They were looking at their situation. And it that's not what it's about. It's looking at the faith. We walk by faith, we'll be a lot better off. You see, but we get impatient and we devising plans and ideas and blame others when it all falls into a big heap and things go wrong. You know, that's what happened. We get impatient on what we need to do. And then everything goes haywire. And because of all the plans we've devised and come up with, and then we want to blame somebody else. You know, well, so-and-so shouldn't have come up with the idea. And I mean, and it all goes the wrong way. And it falls into a heap. And then we try to hide our mistakes. And it just doesn't work. You know, God sent Hagar and Ishmael back to Abraham and Sarah. And they lived with them they had to live with that mistake for about 17 more years. You ever had to live with your mistake? Don't say. Oh, I want to so bad. But she's not a mistake. I'm just picking on her. No, you ever had to live with a mistake you made? I have. I've made some mistakes in my life. Oh, she's going, I'm in trouble. Listen, if I don't come back next week, I didn't drown. Not in my own will. You know, when we make a mistake and we have to live with it we do learn from it. And I think it's good that we do that. So, you see, God sent Hagar back to them and Ishmael, and they had to live with it. Now, Abraham and Sarah, they really did Hagar wrong. When you read about it, they honestly did. And they suffered for it. But God, he loves his children. He stepped in. He cared for her and her son. And Abraham obeyed God and gave the appointed name. He didn't have to. Hagar's the one that told Abraham he'll be called Ishmael. And Abraham said, okay, that's the name. And you look his name up, it means God shall hear. Now, had Abraham waited on, and Sarah, had they waited on God instead of running ahead of God, they would have avoided a lot of pain and a lot of things. But let me remind you of something. It would be even quite different today. We wouldn't have celebrated last month, what, 21 years of 9/11? If Sarah and Abraham had waited on God, we wouldn't have had to celebrate that. Because that's who the people were. They've been a problem. And the Bible says they'll be a wild man. They won't like nobody. Nobody will like them. Listen, they've been a problem ever since they first got here. And so what can we learn really from all of this and chapter 16 of this is we need to wait on the Lord. That's why I had them quote that. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, those two back there are too young. You guys are too young. Trust me. I'm going to tell you something. If you go through life and you wait on the Lord, you pray about things. If you'll do that, the Lord will help you. And another thing now, this is how old are you? 10? 8? You're almost 9. Oh, practically 9. I like that. Trust me, when you get my age, you'll be saying, well, I'm not nowhere near. I still got a few months. You're 12, right? 11. Who is this 12? Avery just turned 12. He had a birthday yesterday. And I didn't even tell him happy birthday. I'm in trouble. All right, so I'll start with you. Let's see. You're 12. Let's give it 20 more years. No. Reality. 10 years on either any of you. You could be looking for Mr. Wright.
When I'm
going to
be 18, I'm going
to
be
piano. Yeah, I know. But when Mr. Wright comes along, you'll forget all about everything else. The only thing you'll think about is, oh, he holds my hand so sweet. And holds everybody like, I'm kidding. You know? That's true. And you got to remember, as long as I'm alive, he's got to pass me. One of these days, listen, I'm going to tell you something very important. Wait on the Lord when you get to that situation. He'll give you who he wants you to have. Because if you get the one that you want, and it ain't the one God wants you to have,
you'll be miserable.
Yes, you'll be miserable. Yeah. Miserable. I know a lot of people that can back me up on that. I know a bunch of them. Huh? Trust me, we don't want you to grow up, but I can't keep you down. So you better, honestly, in all of your doings, in all of your work, your schoolwork, and all of, now, don't tell the teachers tomorrow.
Well, I'm praying about the math problem, and I got to wait on the Lord. That ain't going to work. But you pray about things, and you wait on the Lord. That goes for us. Pray about it, because listen, if we get too far ahead of ourselves, we could get in real big trouble. See, I prayed, and man, about this school thing, and I thought we ought to just turn it out there in the public, let everybody know, and then I'm like, well, that kind of be dumb. And it would have been. We'd have a mess right now. And so we got to wait on the Lord. The Lord one of these days will make Wagon Wheel Baptist Academy just what He wants it to be, but we got to wait on Him. And we got to wait on Him for a lot of things. Don't get too bent out of shape, because the Lord ain't showed up yet. He will. And when He does, we'll look back and say, wow, things would have been a lot different if we just waited on a lot of things. Amen?